Digest episode 15 with your host Christian Coffin. Today is February 3rd, 2019. All of you who wish to seek truth and justice for the betterment of all creation. This broadcast is brought to you in part by Journal Affairs Media and ParkDoc.com.
Welcome to Dark Docs Digest, episode 15. I'm your host, Christian Coffins, and today's a special episode. I was able to wrangle up the illustrious James Charles Ball all the way in Seattle. You're in Seattle, Washington?
Yeah, I'm in a suburb. I'm in Washington. I don't live in downtown Seattle. I'm not ready to see the cool shit there, but I'm in Washington, and you can call me Seattle. I'm in greater Seattle. How about that?
I've been out there. It's gorgeous. I love it.
It's beautiful, right? It's fucking beautiful. I wish I had this as a kid, to be honest. I could go out here into an enchanted forest. It's like, holy shit, it's so lovely now. It's fantastic.
Santa's enchanted forest is the most, like, when you like think back to it, that's the most, like, pathetic attempt to, I mean, they tried so hard, too. I'm not going to, like, knock them, but it was ghetto. It was Miami as fuck.
Yeah, it's a difficult pair. That's just a shitty fucking playground. I mean,
I got kicked out of Santa's Enchanted Forest. The last year I ever went there, I was like, I don't know, like 14 or so. And I met a girl. And I wanted to get her phone number. And this was before cell phones, and I never did the whole pager thing. So I literally just – I had a little book, I wrote down the phone numbers.
Is it a black book?
Yeah. Well, it was just one of those, like – it was, like, static on the cover. It looked like – it was, like, one of the, like a composite, you know. I didn't have a pen, though. And so I asked this chick for a pen because she looked like the kind of, like, mom type that would have a pen. Bitch went to the security and said I was bothering her, and the security, no questions asked, just grabbed me by the arm, threw my ass out of the fucking place. Didn't get the number, got thrown out, had to pay admission. I was only there for like half an hour. I was pissed. I was so pissed, and I never went back.
Well, that sounds like a total Miami bitch, you know. That's one thing why those bitches down there are fucking crazy.
They don't want to be bothered, you know, so screw ya, whoever you were. But anyway, James Charles Ball. So this is a little background for our listeners, as far as I know, and then you can elaborate from there. I always bill you whenever I'm saying, yeah, that guy James Charles Ball, he made TerraceMedia.com back in, when did you come out with that, like
2004.
What?
2004. I came out
there
in 2004.
Really? I thought it was older. So how old were you? When it launched, like how old were you?
17.
You were 17. And then once it was launched, so like tell us about what Terrace Media was, why did you want to start such a thing, and we'll take it from there.
Well, okay, so the news media wouldn't show us shit. And I was like, well, I want to see this thing they're showing, that they're saying happened, but not showing us. And I want to go see what's going on in Iraq and Afghanistan and all them places over there that you're bombing and shit. So then, I started, researching, the Islamic stuff. I got to the Chechnya war and I started researching their things. And I just really wanted to, actually get these videos first and see what they were talking about. So then I then started going to all the forums, the terrorist forums, and then I started to go interact with them by pretending to be other people and you know, basically just doing a lot of research. And then I just wanted, then I got into the media wing. I started getting all their documents and their media. I wanted to archive and sort up their unadulterated so that, you know, the metadata and everything could be out there so that if we could see who they are. I just kind of just did it as a hobby and for fun and to really get the truth out there.
Yeah, exactly. And tell the story about so the Saddam Hussein hanging video. Didn't that have like your watermark when it got onto the mainstream media?
Well, I didn't put any watermarks for any of my videos. This one, I want everything to be even adulterated. But what happened was,
okay,
I put it on my site like 3 days before the mainstream media even knew about it. I had the person sent me the original 3GP cell phone file via the Hotmail messenger back then, and I uploaded it on my site. Somebody else put their shitty watermark on it, and that's the one the media put it everywhere.
I got my stuff backwards, yeah. So they didn't necessarily source it from you. You just kind of were ahead of the curve in, like, where you got it from.
Yeah. They didn't attribute anything to me. They didn't want to attribute – the mainstream media didn't want to attribute shit to me because they're all just fake news anyway. So my whole thing was a protest against the media from the get-go. Like, you know, the whole reasoning for me for that site was to protest the media for say a bunch of shit and not getting the full story. And that's part of it, you know. They got this fake this altered video, and they showed that instead of the real video. And anyway, I had the footage long before CNN even knew about it.
Yeah, man, I mean,
in that
that's what I love about this story, because, again, this is back in 04, where if you look at what the internet was back then, like what, I mean, there was no Facebook yet, I don't think, or if there was, it was like still college level, not even, it wasn't the mainstream big thing that it is now where everyone can jump on it. I guess there was MySpace at
that
point. Yeah, I think
we're back there for that reason, because it was back to only college people. Sorry.
Right. So at the time, it was just for college students when you were doing this, and there was MySpace, but again, like that was just like kids and like creeps, like everything. And then of course we had Friendster before that. But there's nothing like a news outlet that, I mean, this was, I think, before Vice Media was even out, and Russia Today, for example, RT, they have something similar, I think, which is like the closest thing to what you had going, where they just have like live feeds sometimes, or just like really quick, unedited, on-the-spot cell phone footage that is being directly uploaded by independent journalists during riots and war and all kinds of things going on in the world. And where it's just kind of like a window, it's multiple windows into what's going on somewhere else that, like, you would have no idea about that if it wasn't for someone being there and filming it and upload, like, the cell phone cameras. This was when cell phone cameras were really in their infancy. I mean, they've only been out for a couple years at this point, and they're grainy, you know, low quality, but it also helped I like them because they look grindhouse as hell, but also they're so easy to upload, download. You can text them to one another. They're so small.
Yeah. Those are the good old days where it was all, you know, everything. You're able to send videos via text message.
Yeah, man. Like right now, everything is like, you know, everything's so high resolution that you really look like shit nowadays on newer devices with the old stuff, where the resolution of the screen back then was much smaller. So something looking crappy, it was like, ah, this is as good as my screen. This is what, like, I don't know, Indiana Jones looks like on this phone or whatever at that point. But now, like, you have these, like, billions of pixels on everything, and the screens are just getting bigger and bigger. And so everything has to be 720 and 1080 HD and just huge files and stuff. And I kind of like the old days. We actually compressed the hell out of the Sacred Owls DVD we just released with Dark Ducks. They Are Here to Save the World. And it has 8 different documentaries that I shot. You know that Wish app? Are you familiar with that?
I never used it. I never used
Chinese.
It.
Excellent. I have all kinds of ninja stuff. I just got some grappling hooks. I get a bunch of stuff for like gardening and horticultural stuff. But they also have really good spy gear. Like for $12, I got this pair of like spy glasses. They just look like thick frame prescription glasses. But it has a little microphone, little camera on like 2 little dots you can't even see. And there's 2 other like, you know, phony dots on the other side, so it's symmetrical. There's like no like light or anything that goes on. Records to micro SD and it films 1080. You just have to push a button. And so we got a lot of footage using it. So it's like, it's kind of fun, like, you know, releasing something so grainy now. That it's like, man, when was this filmed? You know, like our new stuff really looks like a lot of the old terrorist media stuff. But we got like a dude at the Bohemian Club on camera talking about some stuff. And we were at the gates of the Bohemian Grove, Boys Town, Nebraska, and the Denver Airport. Actually, I shot that with my cell phone. But, I mean, it's crazy. Like, I just love where the tech is now that you can get something super cheap. It's so much better than the old stuff. And meanwhile, these idiots are out there spending like $800, $1,000 on cell phones. I bet you're OTG of like a flip phone. You're rocking a burner?
Huh?
Are you rocking a burner, like, or do you actually have like a smartphone?
I got a million fucking phones. Yeah, just smartphone. I got a smartphone.
Oh, okay. Apple, or are you an Android guy?
I use Android, but it doesn't, you know, even burner phone, it doesn't fucking matter. I mean, every single text message, no matter what, every single text message, phone calls on the internet anyway. So it doesn't even fucking matter if you rock a burner or a smartphone. It's not gonna go away from any fucking tracking. So it really doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
I totally forgot. So that's a pretty good segue. I just got I'm on the T-Mobile network because I have a Metro PCS, and my last phone just broke. So I downgraded from like I had a ZTE, big, gigantic thing, but I liked it because it was cheap and the camera was really good, but it was too damn big. So I got this LG, like it was like $89 or something. You know, I got the fucking case because that's what broke the last one. Once that screen goes, man, you know, whatever. But I was really bugged because the ZTE, you can't open the back panel and take the battery out. And that freaked me out. I didn't like it. You know, and so I at least with this one, like I made sure, like you can take the back off, you can take the battery out. But I've heard some people say that there's even a smaller battery that is inside of everything. And that's the one that, you know, the NSA is using to track you everywhere. You were actually mentioning like I can get somebody down to like the longitude and latitude and stuff. What do you think about that? Is there a secret battery?
There's no fucking secret database, right? It's just like programmers don't know how to program code, and there's something out there that is called the API, and this is all across the internet, so it's every service, you know. I'm kind of scared about when they're going to go do these over the car updates over this API shit, but. The API, the simple API I can tell you is if you go to a store and they offer you the price of shipping from UPS, they're calling the UPS API, and then, you know, they're sending them the weight of the package and the zip code going to, and then it automatically sends it back to the user, the price. Now, since everything in the back end is being run on these APIs, the Internet of Things, type deals, the cars, phones, lidar sensor data, you know, tracking for ads, metrics, everything. You know, that's all going to go in an API, and the API is often not really looked at properly. And it's a real shit show. I've done stuff with the hardware. Like I've turned off devices right away just by, you know, sending a simple, going to a simple web page. You want to think about it.
Right. And yeah, so what you're saying is that, like, with the API, whether or not you have a battery in, once you put a battery in and it gets to, yeah, it's only a matter of time before.
I'm saying this. Once you use it, it's already logged somewhere in the internet. It's on there forever.
Yeah.
And the data that comes with it includes the GPS coordinates.
Now, so, with your knowledge about
somewhere out there at any time, you can make a phone call or use a device or, you know, did anything that's interconnected to the internet anyway, or even any network, any form or way, it's stored somewhere and that can be retrieved. So, it that's what it is. That's what I'm saying. It's, you know, you send a text message out, that whole data. You know, maybe the full message is out there. Oftentimes it still is, but the time you sent it, who you sent it to, and, you know, what, you know, the duration, whatever information, that will be there. It can go to marketing companies, all of a bunch of other companies that get your data. They don't give a shit about the privacy of it. They don't even know about it because they just hand it off to anywhere else. And they don't even consider that to be private data. So, realistically, if I was a PI, if I was a private investigator or anybody, and I really wanted to find out where somebody was at, I can do it. And that's how it is. You know, whether the NSA has any special tool or not, they might, but I don't even think they need to anymore, is what I'm saying.
Right on. So, like, let's say hypothetically, you have a smartphone that you can take a battery out of, and you get to a point that you're like, all right, from here, I don't want to be tracked while I'm here. So if someone takes their battery out of their phone, and, you know, so it's off, battery's out of it, and then you just have it for an emergency, it's in your pack, and then you go hiking somewhere, you know, way out or whatever, you come back. So now GPS is off, the device is supposed to be off, the battery's out of it, so even if it says it's off, it can't get power, so it says. And then, you know, you get back to wherever, you know, the next point is, put in your battery, turn your phone back on, you know, turn GPS on and everything. So there should, you know, be, if that is all true, kind of this like dead zone that's like, well, this device was just like non-existent for this period of time. Or are you saying even with the battery out of it that they can pick up on that missing area?
During that time frame, they if it's not pinging anything, you see that the device is not active at on.
Right. Okay. Because, you know, like, I mean, I kind of take your word for that again, because you've been working with T-Mobile and different telecom companies for years now, exactly in that part of the business, I've been getting a lot of like, oh, you take the battery out, you think they still can't find it, and I'm like, I don't know, man, like, because I just have a basic understanding of how much of a battery you would need to really be pinging to, like, either a local antenna or even, like, a satellite. Like, it requires a rather significant battery.
No, they would not be able to. If you take a battery out of your phone is not reachable. That's one reason why they cannot track but I cannot find a later airplane that went to disappear. It became unusable after a certain time.
Right, because those same people are saying, like, yeah, man, they know where those planes are. They're just not telling us. And I'm like, I don't know. You know, I bet there's at least three of those guys listening to this right now that they're like, those guys are feds, man.
I want to tell those people this. This is something that you might not want to hear, but not everything is a fucking conspiracy. I mean, a lot of things just are really people being incompetent, and there's a lot of incompetent people out there.
Right, and you always have to remind those same people they're NPCs, but they're trying. You know, they're very infantile truth seekers, and you kind of have to like use kid gloves and don't be too mean, or else you're a troll. And we'll get to more of that later in the show. I have a whole segment on trolling that I'd like to run by you. It's like not everything is anything is what I like to remind people of. Not everything is anything, where I like to say it's more like, maybe 13% kind of like that, and then the rest of it, you know, has nothing to do with that. But, you know, it's a bunch of Venn diagrams happening at once, where everyone is related to something in one way or another, has some relationship with something. So you can make plausible arguments for a lot of things, but plausibility doesn't necessarily equal evidence. You need like a lot of plausibilities all together in series, really, to start getting a theory of some sort of conspiracy. You know, of course, the term conspiracy theory was coined by the CIA back in the 60s after the Warren Commission, who was supposed to be the investigation into the assassination of John F. Kennedy. And that's when Operation Mockingbird came out. We actually just released on darkdocs.com. If you go to our documents section or scroll down on the homepage, the Family Jewels, are you familiar with the CIA Family Jewels document?
I heard of it. I can't remember
the details. Memory. This is the one where it talks about Project Mockingbird. It talks about John Rossellini and the use of the mafia in attempt to kill Fidel Castro. And there's even a Washington Post article attached to it in this version of it that was, you know, talking about, it was a headline news where CIA was tied to attempt to assassinate Saddam Hussein. And, you know, it's kind of one of the early leaks. But Mockingbird and, of course, you know, MK Ultra, a lot's coming out about that. But, yeah, good stuff. And that's why I totally segued into that. I forgot how we got here. But we'll keep moving forward. Let's go back to the timeline. So, Paris Media, you how long were you like actively doing that?
Probably about a good. I stopped doing it for about. I did it for a good 10 years. I stopped doing it about 2014.
About 2014. Yeah. And I mean, I went to the site yesterday when I was going to have you on the show. I wanted like print screens of like, for a while you had that thing looking badass, and now it's just like some blank generic WordPress site. What's up with that? I feel like I should make you something for it.
Well, I just don't even want to. I want to keep it there because the form is being updated on the back, and you know, if I want to get back into the future, at least I have it there, and I think it's still a good source of. But I just can't keep watching this shit. I don't even
want to. I hear you, man. I think I'm going to come to a point in my life. It really just gets to you after a while. Like running Dark Ducks, people are sending me all kinds of like the worst shit. You know, I have people that have been victims of satanic ritual abuse that are sending me all kinds of rabbit holes to go down and. Newspaper clippings of different things involving mutilations and murders and you know serial killings and stuff involving like all kinds, you know, just the worst kind of shit. And it's like I have to really be in the right. It's not for everybody ever, you know. Like it's not for some people some of the time. And I think you and I can maybe take more of it, and you just saw enough of it. You know, if you really aren't in the right mindset, or like you're already upset about something and you see some of this stuff, it's triggering. It can trigger PTSD symptoms. I mean, I've heard all kinds of stuff. And whenever I hear that stuff, I'm like, you need to take a break. You know, you need to, and you naturally are. Your break might be forever. I think you've done enough in like the InfoSec community and stuff to just be like, I'm done. I'm retired, and enjoy, you know, the lighter side of life. Of course, standing up for the same ideals and stuff, but it's almost like in the info war, you can actually, retire, you know, with like just the benefit of like, so I did that, you know, because like there's no real money in this unless you're selling snake oil or something.
Yeah. Well, it was also this more like, everything started coming in 4K as well, and the glory became 4K, and you know, and I, you know, just keep, you know, just, and you know, I watched over 1,000, maybe 2,000, something. I watched thousands of shit. You know, I just didn't want to become completely fucked up.
I've seen perfectly good people that meant well, like, just go off the rails, like, totally. I think Alex Jones is one of them. I don't know. What is your take on Alex Jones now? Because I know over the years, all of us, you know, it's like he's like this weird psychological chameleon over the years as you're watching it all unfold. Where do you stand now? Is he a patriot, or is he a shill? Is he something else?
He's just fucked up.
You think he's genuine
right now? No, I just think you know, he knows where the money is at right now. And you know, he's following the money trail, and you know, that's really what I think he's doing. Whether or not, if I think he believes this shit or not, half the time I don't think he believes half the shit he says. I really kind of blocked him, just like made sure I got no notifications.
Well, like
when he started really,
you deplatformed him.
Yeah, well, it was like, at one point I was like every day kept on talking about Michelle Obama's dick, and I was like, you know what, man, if you want to go suck her dick so much, go right ahead. I gotta go keep reading this other, you know, that'd be. You know, this is fucked up. I'm like, what the hell is this shit? You know, and it's like,
yeah, that whole chestnut. I don't know, man. I mean, I think it's not a thing to really dwell. It's one of those things that sounds so crazy that mainstream people won't even consider it, and it has the added bonus of being like, oh, and you're transphobic now, so you get that label. Some compelling stuff, but it's neither here nor there. Like, she was the first lady, first of all. Like, she wasn't doing policy, and even if she was, you know, that's fine. I believe in more transparency in government. If she was a trans, you know, sexual, she, I mean, I don't know. It's like,
He started doing shit after they left. And it's like, are you really fucking serious?
It's
like, are we going to bring this? He's like, guys, just bring
that
the point
at
and dredge
point,
this shit up.
It's not even. She's not only not in office, she never was, but she's like, I mean, she's just like a civilian, you know, a citizen at that point. You know?
I just saw him targeting a woman that he found he didn't find attractive. And then I just thought that was petty. You know, I just thought it was really fucked up.
Bad look. It's a bad look.
You know, that's, you know, it comes down to it. That's what, you know, even if he's right or whatever it is, that's what, you know, that's what I'm seeing. That's what it comes down to. That's what he did.
Texas white Aryan looking dude. You know, like, it's not so good.
You know, he was also looking at transsexual porn too. So maybe you know he enjoyed it. Who knows?
Someone sent me that video. Like, it's like in the InfoWars studio, and they show like a kind of like coming up behind him shot, and you see his computer screen. It's like a tablet or something, and it had some like tranny.
Transsexual porn on it. More power to you, Alex. If you're into that shit, but don't do that on your show. Don't jerk off and don't jerk off in the bathroom. Yeah. Then come to your show and show it, but you're doing that shit. You do that at your home. Don't do that at work. That's my main issue about that too. You show it out to everybody. So
sometimes if you look at my browser, like for example, I spent like a week and a half railing on the parents and the adults in the drag community around these Kinder drag kids. Are you familiar with this? There's Desmond is amazing is one of them.
He was on Pornhub looking at transsexual porn.
Was it Pornhub?
It was Pornhub or XTube. Was one of those fucking porn sites. It was clearly not research.
On like the bottom or like one of the tabs, or it's hard to tell, honestly. Like I zoomed in, I got the Photoshop.
Clearly transsexual porn. It was gonna act. But it's besides the point. I'm just saying that
It might be actually. I was listening to the No Agenda show. Have you heard this one? It's Adam Curry and John C. Dvorak. Adam Curry used to be an MTV VJ. John C. Dvorak used to write for PC Magazine. And Adam Curry, he's the podfather. He's like not necessarily the inventor, but like he was like one of the very first people to put this together, this concept of a podcast. But anyways, the last episode they were talking about. Now this whole Roger Stone thing is coming out. He got raided by the FBI, and I just saw Call Roger Stone, the Netflix documentary, the other day that just came out, and funny timing with that one. That was kind of interesting. And it's all with, like, allegations to him and, like, illegal sex, homosexual sex things with, him and his wife, and, like they're swingers and this and that. Like, I don't care, First of all, he's not an elected official. Second of all, the consenting adults. With me, as long as there's no pedophilia involved, like, play ball, as long as it's all consensual and all that good stuff. They were saying that within the producers of the No Agenda show, which, it's whoever listens to the show and donates enough money is a producer, so it's like a big network of people. There's a strong belief that Roger Stone and Alex Jones are actually kind of like, romantically involved, and like they're part of like kind of just like swingers. It sounded kind of far fetched to me, but I don't know. I don't know these people,
Well, I saw a lot of these conspiracy theories revolve around this fucking sex shit. What can it be about money or power? They got to fuck each other too? That's kind of weird to me.
Yeah, and they were saying, again, like, they don't care if they're gay, whatever, and like, you want to be closet about it, people have their reasons, whatever. But, it was kind of like a breach of like the information and kind of like do they have pillow talk and kind of like that kind of stuff but like a lot of people believe that like InfoWars is like they're coming after them. Like when I say they, I mean like CIA, but they're gonna the FBI is gonna carry it out. I don't know, because they were pretty much like, if you are involved with InfoWars in any way, like pull out, because like you don't want to be on that. And it's like, I've had like, I tried to like, be a, like one of their journalists before, like years ago. I submitted a video and, I know, the Hack Miami, corporate branch, was doing some pen testing for them. I'm not sure if they're still involved with that. We'll get into all that later. But, I mean, I don't know, and another part of me is like, well, if you look at what they've been doing, like, they're disruptors, they're agent provocateurs, who are they working for? I don't know. Are they independent? Who knows? But they're out there. I can say I support at least with Jones, like what maybe half of the stuff is, and then the other half is kind of conjecture and sensationalized in order to get more attention and kind of be a wacky, waving, inflatable arms, inflatable tube man or something. But also, like, focusing too much on that is, it's important to look at how they're being treated by the government, some say maybe shadow governments, you know, the deep states, the media, how you know, they're treating them, where it's like any publicity is good publicity. So why was the mainstream media having him on so often for so many years? And now he's getting deplatformed, but they're still talking about him getting deplatformed. So he's like a Trump character, and it's interesting that how he supported him, where it's hard not to talk about him, constantly moving, constantly shaking. I guess, how do you feel about Trump in all of this? Are you a supporter? Or are you indifferent? Do you not like the guy?
I don't really give a shit about Trump. And also realize Trump, not supporting or helping Alex Jones. He didn't even support his own fucking people, persisting everybody who tried to get into office. So,
yeah. Did he say anything? I don't think, I can't recall any sound clip or nothing where he's talking about InfoWars being deplatformed, where InfoWars had a video of him announcing to be president. He was on a couple times, very chummy. On the Alex Jones show, and before the election, and I think even after the election, when asked, Alex Jones would be like, "No, we're not friends, but he has my number, and whatever. No, I don't work for him, and whatever." But I don't know.
No, I mean, I can see that. For instance, I had John McAfee come to my conference, and he probably had my number. Not because he was my friend.
Yeah, I talked to him quite a bit that weekend. This was, it's funny because I met him, and like we had the weekend down on Miami Beach with everybody, and like a year later, Netflix came out with that John McAfee documentary. I forget what it's called, but like how he's kind of like this Pablo Escobar guy with like a bunch of underage chicks peeing on him, hanging. That he had this apparatus. Did you hear about this?
I heard a lot of crazy shit about his escapade with a woman, a girl down there that he molested. I think a lot of it's probably exaggerated.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the ones on the documentary, anyway, like, at the time of the events, they said, like, it's alleged underage, but that they were, over the age of consent in that country, which is, like, 16, I think. And, but it's like, you're outside of the country doing this, And it's like those businessmen that go to, like, Bangkok and stuff like that to, just kind of cut loose on the lady boys out there,
I didn't hear anything about that. I just heard that, he just had sex with 17 or 16 year old girls. I was like, okay, whatever. This was what he's over there. That's the only thing I heard was his big to do. It's kind of creepy. I don't know.
I just never got it, man. I mean, I've always liked older chicks. When I was of age and interested, I liked the 16 and 17. When I was 13, I would like 16. And then when I was 14, 15, I was already like, hey, let's go for an 18-year-old, I've been the total opposite of that kind of hibophile, pedophile mindset. Are you familiar with hebephilia? It's like, I'm not a pedophile, I'm a hebephile, where like I like, grass in the field, play ball, after puberty, like not much. Like that's, they call themselves hebephiles.
No, I never heard of that nonsense.
Yeah, they always come up with new names. So like, they're like, oh, Hibophile, never heard of that. What, you like herbs?
No.
And I'm like, no, you're
the girls who was fucking at her, the girls who was looking at you, like, I had a kid already anyway. I mean, at least I saw. So it wasn't like they were like skinny. I don't know if that was like, if that's what they're skinny chicks. A skinny chick.
I don't know.
These guys in South America, they're good. I'm pretty sure they got something on them.
Yeah.
But whenever I see somebody that young, I just see a kid now. It's kind of like creepy to even talk to them at all.
Yeah. But,
well, I don't have any shit. That's just me.
Yeah, you know, and it's funny. Like, I always kind of had this like chip on my shoulder about people preying on people. I had sisters that had different, you know, experiences with their father, and you know, not my father, different dad. But you know, I grew up just hearing about it, and it just pissed me off. You know, just the feeling of like being, you know, helpless in the situation, that like they can overpower you, or like, you know, you're just afraid of them, or you trusted them, so you'd do whatever they say. You were that innocent, you know. It's like, it just fucking disgusted me, you know. And I guess so that's where I was coming from, you know. And I was raised by my mom and my sister, so you know, there was no. I mean, my dad died when I was 9, so he was there when I was younger, but yeah. So I've always kind of wanted to be like, I want to be like the total opposite of that, you know. And now when I was single, but like, you know, in my early 30s and stuff, a couple years ago, I was thinking like, I can't imagine somebody just being like, oh yeah, let's go hang out at the high school, you know, like R. Kelly. Did you see any of that like R. Kelly Showtime stuff?
No, I heard a lot about it, and I haven't watched it yet. Did he really suggest that he wanted to go hang out at the high school? Man, what a fucking douche.
I mean, he didn't suggest that. He did it all the time. Like, you'd come to his house, and you know how whenever there's a high school, the nearest like pizza parlor or ice cream shop or whatever the fuck, you know, like within walking distance, that's where all the high school kids are. He would make it a point, like, that's where him and his boys would come in. And at the time, he was in his, you know, he started doing this kind of stuff, you know, in the scene when he was in his early 20s. But, you know, a decade would go by, and he would still be doing that shit. And it just gets creepier as time goes on, because it's almost like in that movie Dazed and Confused, where the one character's like, man, get over, but age, you know, it's like that kind of, oh, he's just that creepy old stoner guy. He just likes young chicks. He likes young chicks, bro. I don't know. Everyone has their preferences. And of course, the pedos love that like little fringe and that little phrase. They use it all the damn time. It's like, no, you know, it's like, just because, and I've been called like, you know, you're transphobic, homophobic, da 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 da. I think I'm not. You want to be, you know, not you want to be, but you really feel you are something else, or you like something that you're not supposed to like. I'm a libertarian, man. I'm not going to tell you what to do with your body as long as it's consensual and everything's cool. You're under the age of consent, U.S. law. And I kind of like that law, where if you're under the age of 18, you have a parent guardian that is the consenting party on your half. I also think that it has a dangerous double standard with things like, you know, circumcision is the most notorious. We talked about the new documentary American Circumcision, which they actually did a pretty good job of covering all the different sides of that argument. For and against male circumcision, whereas I, you know, the other side of that is like, well, so you're under the care of your parents, and you can't consent, so they have to consent for you. But I feel like it almost should, like, at the same time, that the human being, you know, if they can sense something like a cosmetic surgery that's not really required for anything, you know, have all these adult men now that they've been, like, kind of, like, castrated in a way, and they've, you know, they feel like less than, they have problems with it, they have image problems, physical problems occur, you know, there's botched circumcisions, and there's over 100 different apparatus on the market where people are trying to do foreskin restoration, where you're stretching your dicks to try to, and if you're successful, you're talking about putting a lot of pressure, hours on end, and wearing these things in your clothes to, you know, grow more skin using stretching, the elasticity in your skin. The best result is, like, you end up getting, like, you know, what they call like a turtleneck, where it kind of covers half of your head, a little something, but it's not, and it doesn't have all the, like, awesome nerve endings and shit that, you know, you came with. What's your, I don't think I've ever talked to you about it, but what's your perspective on the whole male circumcision thing?
I never thought of it.
Are you, do you want to share that, or are you not, just never really cared, or?
I mean, personal side, I don't give a shit about it. Girls in the didn't really affect me in any way whatsoever. Didn't really think about it.
Worked
in my business all the time, and I just my friend, that's what I remember myself always having. I dealt with it. I'm fine with it. I didn't even know there was a difference until someone told me that happened. I was like, oh, okay, that's interesting.
Right,
that's cool.
Right.
Okay, go ahead. I didn't expect anyway whatsoever, and I don't think about it.
I mean, and that's usually the case with most people. Like, they're just like, oh, okay, you know. And so, but it's always funny, and it's very telling where I'll share something. I'm happy that I was, like, left alone. It's hard to imagine life without it, just like it's hard for you to imagine life with it, you know, where and of course my son, I left him alone, but his mom was naive to, like, the whole thing and stuff. And again, it's not on a lot of people's radars. It's just such a routine thing. Like, oh, so, you know, checkbox, they're getting a circumcision, you know, it's almost like the box is already checked and stuff. And the more you look into, like, man, like, why are they so eager to do this? Of course it's a procedure, it's more money. But in the religious sect, whether you're Christian or Jewish and stuff, they have all sorts of rituals around this act, and it's not even sometimes done there, but they do it at home or at the synagogue, and it's a big fanfare. And well, what was that, Skype? You know, it's the hospitals, they actually use this foreskin for rejuvenative, like, they use that alongside with, like, baby stem cells from, like, abortions and things like that, for, like, you know, skin, for cosmetics, just to increase the elasticity in your, like, your face skin and prevent crow's feet. Sandra Bullock, the actress recently, I think she was on the Ellen DeGeneres show, and she was talking about how, like, had one of these force treatments. And you know, it's not like you have a foreskin on your face or nothing, but they extract, like, the DNA from it and all kinds of stuff out of it and turn it into a serum. And I'm not sure if it's injected or if it's topical, but that's how they use that stuff. So it's a high-end, a child's foreskin's on the market for, like, $10,000. Like, it's that valuable. They can get that much of whatever that is, you know, from that. So of course they're going to be, like, harvesting these things off of human beings and be like, ah, you don't need that. Sandra Bullock, she's getting wrinkly, so fuck you. Fuck you and your foreskin. But enough about foreskin. I'm triggering all of the people out there. Get back to the timeline. So you met, let's call, you know, the other founder of Hack Miami, I don't know, Agent Smith. I think you'll know who we're talking about. When did you meet Agent Smith?
No, Friday 2005. No, I met my son in school, I believe.
Huh?
I think 2005 at our college.
Okay, you met, I wasn't sure if you knew him in high school or not, how far back you guys got. But so we met all, well, I knew him back in high school, but like we were in different circles. He was in this band Claim, and you know, I was kind of, it was more like that butt rock Creed kind of stuff. And I was more into punk rock, so it was like kind of a different scene. We'd see each other, we'd hang out and stuff. He actually played bass in one of my bands when we were like early at FIU, and then that broke up. That was before Sacred Owls. You met him around that time, and that's of course when I met you. I met you through him, and you know, he originally had ResistanceArsenal.com. That was like the primitive, way more like Infowars.com early kind of style. But then was it you that came up with the name Federal Jack, or was it him? It wasn't me.
It was him. We were ragging on some douchebag that FIU named Radical Jack.
And that's right. Nah, he's Federal Jack. Yeah, so Radical Jack was this, he was a communist activist organizer, and, you know, a lot of people thought he was a Fed. I guess you guys.
He was a federal shill agent that wanted to get all the commies together and start doing nothing.
Yep, I mean, like all COINTELPRO, that's counterintelligence operation kind of activist groups, he aligned himself with the Bolivarian Youth, which was also a very communist, very Che Guevara kind of thing going on in the Miami area. And then later, that was replaced with the Black Mangrove Collective. So there was always this kind of. You remember them?
That Black Mangrove, that thing was so funny.
Yeah, I mean, you know, a little background for our listeners. So Federal Jack, we had federaljack.com, and it was a news website. We would syndicate from different news sources, but we would also write original content, and we had a whole movie section. It was just, at the time, links to the YouTube videos. Well, was we just made thumbnails. I actually designed a lot of those on our sidebar, and then we had we were an FIU, so we wanted money, pretty much. So we became a student organization at Florida International University, and it was called Federal Jack, and we wore suits. We thought it would be a good thing to look the part. If we were going to be going to these different things and have our voice be heard, what we didn't like about the more left-wing organizations and stuff was that it would just be like some bongo dreadlock dude and like some chick with a shaved head and like a bunch of piercings in her face. And again, nothing's wrong with any of that stuff. I have a lot of friends that I just described them, and I love them to death. But again, when you're involved in information warfare, when you're involved in swaying public opinion away from scumbag, mafia, murderer, pedophile, occult scumbag, you gotta look more presentable, more presidential than they are. You gotta look more the part. We dressed nice, and that really triggered those left-wing guys, because they were like, man, they're not even trying to hide it, bro. They're fucking feds. Oh, man. No, but I love it. It was hilarious, because they'd start showing ass, like, immediately, and just discrediting themselves. Where even like their followers, whoever was at like their vegan potluck or whatever, nothing against vegans, that they were looking at them like, they would come talk to us, be like, why are they acting so crazy? I'm like, I don't know. You want to go to Miccosukee and get some steak and lobster and go shoot some guns? And they're like, yeah. Because that's how we roll.
Yeah.
$6.95. Yeah, yeah. They still have that. It's probably like $8.99 now.
It's probably $10.95. Who knows nowadays? You know, you know something really fucked up? You know, if I made $100,000 in a year, 2004, you know, I wouldn't need right now to make the same equivalent. I would even make $150,000. That's how much inflation went up in the last 10 years. 50 years.
Wow.
It's 100,000 because that's an easy number to know. But you know, it's like basically
150. That's like 50%. It's crazy. Yep. I had to visit the sink for a moment.
I'm back. That's how professional we are.
It's snowing here.
I got my love seat, and I got my sink right here, and we're just rocking it with James Ball. We have another hour, so I mean we can fucking, you know, get into some stuff. I've been leading the conversation. I feel what's something on your mind at this halfway point in the broadcast that you're like, man, this is some bullshit, and I got to get this off my chest.
I think I already got my shit regarding the fucking API shit. The only thing they have is, you know, I'm getting old now, or I'm feeling older now, and I realize that a lot of people in all the industries out there, even on the television industry or just you know, with all the industries, there's so much incompetence out there. I just see like a lot of bullshit out there that I just can't believe that this flies. I feel like everybody's just doing a half-assed job. And my concern is they're gonna have a half-assed people write these scripts to automate half-assed shit. And that's just going to create a Skynet or some shit because they half-ass code something. And it's not because of something malicious or some bullshit, like, you know, some government conspiracy. I just think a bunch of half-ass assholes run the government as well. And I think only quarter of the assholes run the government, in my opinion. And what I'm saying is that there's so much fucked up things out there that has so many flaws and issues, and there's nobody's checking them. Nobody's verifying. There's no checks and balances out there. And that's caused a lot of disasters, even in the past. But we're not even learning from our own past, our own American history past, as well. You know, we're doing a lot of issues that we've done before without verifying things. And it's something that is really been bugging me when I'm seeing it everywhere. In every form, people say there's no environment. We're not doing any environmental damage and shit. Where only 100 years ago we had something called the Dust Bowl, and that was something that was caused by humans over farming. And you know,
if you put Bronto on the crops, it has what the plants crave. So.
Well, that didn't even work. There's something in the United States. That's becoming a documentary. That's not a fucking movie anymore. That's a documentary.
Of course, you guys that don't know what I'm talking about with the Brondo and the water out of the toilet, you need to stop what you're doing. In an hour when this is done and go watch Mike Judge's Idiocracy. It's with Luke Wilson. I'm going to kick myself. It's the actress. She was on SNL. No, Mad TV, I think. And she actually has a new show called Forever on Amazon. And, man, I plug so much streaming service stuff on here, I should get a paycheck. I need to call them and be like, do you understand? Like, I did a Bandersnatch episode already. Did you do the Netflix Bandersnatch Black Mirror thing yet? You know about that?
What?
On Netflix, are you familiar with the Black Mirror series? It's a British kind of like Twilight Zone.
I know a series.
Yeah, so they came out with a full-length movie. It's on Netflix. But the interesting thing about it is that it's not just like a movie. It's more of a game where do you remember those books when we were younger? It was a choose-your-own-adventure book where you would read the first chapter, and at the end of the chapter, you have like choices, and you'd have to flip to a different page to see what happens. Like multiple endings.
Yeah, actually, it was awesome.
Yeah, so you're going to love this, dude. I love those fucking things. I got a copy of, it was called Curse of the Winter Wizard. You know, like some total, like, metal-looking cover with some Viking and shit. And I got it when I was, like, 7 or 8. I mean, it was, like, one of, like, the first, like, books I sat down and read. And super fun, you know, because you can keep reading, starting over different ways. You can do that with this movie, where you can't watch this thing, like, on your Roku, but you can watch it on your computer or on your phone. Some smart screens and things like that, there's, like, a little icon. It's either, like, it works or it doesn't work when you're scrolling through on Netflix. But you get to certain points in the movie where you...
Is it called Black Mirror what?
Bandersnatch.
Bandersnatch?
Yes, Bandersnatch. I'm actually going to play a clip from the beginning because it's pretty gnarly, man. I think this is it. Hold on.
Welcome.
Nope, that's not it. It was episode 13.
Welcome to Mardoc's Digest episode 13 with your host, Christian Coffin. Today is January 20th, 2019.
People think there's one reality, but there's loads of them all snaking off like roots, and what we do on one path affects what happens on other paths. Time is a construct. People think you can't go back and change things, but you can. That's what flashbacks are. They're invitations to go back and make different choices. When you make a decision, you think it's you doing it, but it's not. It's the spirit out there that's connected to our world that decides what we do, and we just have to go along for the ride. Mirrors let you move through time. The government monitors people. They pay people to pretend to be your relatives. And they put drugs in your food. And they film you. There's messages in every game. Like Pac-Man. Do you know what PAC stands for? PAC. Program and Control. He's Program and Control Man. The whole thing's a metaphor. He thinks he's got free will, but really, he's trapped in a maze, in a system. All he can do is consume. He's pursued by demons that are probably just in his own head. And even if he does manage to escape by slipping out one side of the maze, what happens? He comes right back in the other side. People think it's a happy game. It's not a happy game. It's a fucking nightmare world. And the worst thing is...
Yeah, so I thought that I opened with that clip because it covers a lot. I mean, the film talks about MKUltra. It talks about all kinds of really, like, gang stalking and a lot of different things. And it's based in the 80s in Britain. So the soundtrack is fucking awesome. You're going to love it. By the way, everyone listening, the intro and outro music of today's show is orchestrated by and performed by James Ball. He has a handle on YouTube. What is it? James 1985 or something like that? Johnny 1985?
Jimmy 1985.
Jimmy 1985. Yeah, very cool. But yeah, you have sweet rig, man, but there's a lot of great synth music and 80s music in this Bandersnatch thing, but it's super fun. I haven't even seen all the endings yet. I spent some time on episode 13. I don't want to give away any spoilers, you know, so don't listen to it until you do the Bandersnatch thing. But it's really smart where it's, you know, choose one of two different things at a lot of points, and then you get to a certain point where there's there's a bunch of dead ends. There's a bunch of kind of shitty endings to the thing. So it's like a terrible fucking horror film, very short, abrupt, kind of fucked up in a lot of the paths. And then there's just one part where you have to remember a combination. So that can unlock, thousands of different options. I'm sure there's only two or three, and most of them will give you the same result, and then maybe there's one or two other variants in there, unless you want to sit there and try every number. I don't know. But I haven't even gotten this. I've only had bad endings, but I heard from someone on the internet that if you get the right combination, the right number, you can win Bandersnatch. So it's very meta because it's about a video game programmer that's programming a joystick Atari game where if you move left or right, you do this or that, and then you get to certain points in the game where it's just like a maze. It's like Pan's Labyrinth or something like that, or a labyrinth rather. And you get to pick, do you choose this thing or this thing at some of the different intersections, and it takes you somewhere else. But within that, you're playing this character who is a developer, building a character. They talk about Pac-Man and how he's program and control man, where he's given the illusion of free will, but no matter what he does, he's being programmed by someone else. He goes out one way, comes back into the maze another way. So it talks about kind of like the Matrix, that similar concept. Very well done. Very well done. Anyway.
We gotta check it out. Sounds like a fun thing to go play with.
Yeah, and at first I was a little frustrated. I'm like, I can't watch it on my fucking TV, But I was like, I finally got to like a week later. I'm like, all right, I'm going to sit down and fucking, I have my headphones on. I got my laptop fired up. I'm going to sit here and do this fucking thing. And immediately I started getting sound clips and shit, because the whole Black Mirror series, it really throws down and makes you think about the mentality of the technocrats and how, they desire to control us and all of our actions and try to exploit us, use our data, use our resourcefulness, and, just suck everything out of us, intellectual property, concepts, patterns, what kind of things do you purchase, but they don't care about you. In fact, a lot of them are genocidal sociopaths that think that the world's overpopulated and, getting a bunch of abortions is good, and poisoning the water supply is good, and let's get into some of that stuff.
They encourage abortion.
Right. Right, whereas, who encourages abortion? Oh, well, Planned Parenthood. Okay. Well, who founded Planned Parenthood? Margaret Sanger. Okay, and what was she? She was a eugenicist, somebody who believes that certain races are unfit, certain genetic traits prove that you're going to be a criminal in the future. What is it called? It's called thought crime or just it's very similar to that Tom Cruise film. I think that was a remake. What am I thinking of? There's a lot of films that allude to this concept of you're guilty before you even, think of doing the thing. They knew that you were going to think about it, And
the Minority
Report. Thank you. Yeah, and it's based on something older, I believe. But
I don't think it's just really based on race anymore. I think it's based on wealth or status. I'm saying this, because a lot of times when people would say that they don't want to be around a certain people, it's because they don't want to be around poor people or what they perceive to be poor people or people low down in some statuses.
Right.
And
right.
And that's usually usually they mean. Because even the O.J. Simpson, look at the O.J. Simpson trial, he was they say that the race thing, but come on, You know, no, that was not a racist thing against him. He was just a rich white guy, but he was just black. He was just a rich guy who played football and got away with murder. But
OJ,
yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, I do find it fascinating that with that very eugenics past with Margaret Sanger, and even on the Planned Parenthood website, they kind of like jokingly brush it aside as like, oh, yeah, she had some extreme views on things, but we don't think that anymore. Meanwhile, most Planned Parenthood centers are very strategically placed in low-income areas and in inner cities,
yeah,
where the majority of people just so happen to be black.
Yeah, well, I see a Planned Parenthood center over here, and there's no black people over that. It's a bunch of like either Mexicans or some kind of Native American type Indian tribal shit.
People, they've had exterminations of those people as well. Sure, I mean, yeah. Not white. You don't see a Planned Parenthood in fucking Beverly Hills. I don't think they have a clinic in Beverly Hills. They don't have one in Monte Rio, California. They don't have one in, in Manhattan. I don't think there's a Manhattan branch of Planned Parenthood. And there's a reason for that, because exactly. It's not as racist anymore, but it is heavily influenced some say that there's the institutionalized racism of it all, where it's systematic, it's economic, it's of course, if you look at the line graphs of household incomes versus the census on what skin color they are, you're going to notice trends. And it's not that they don't perform as well, it's that they don't get paid as much because of this institutionalized racism. And it's not everywhere. Not everything is nothing. Like, nothing is everything. You know, there's plenty of progressive...
I'm going to agree with what Kanye West had to say about that. And I know it sounds going to sound weird, but, it's a mindset thing. If somebody tells you your whole life that it's going to be hard for X, Y, and Z, you're going to make it hard on yourself because of X, Y, and Z. But if you just tell it's not going to affect you. So I think a lot of people just use that as an excuse about why they're not where they're at right now or why they're not where they want to be right now. So they say, I didn't get it because I'm black or whatever. I really think that if they want to get over that shit, they can. That's why I say a lot of people are incompetent. I mean, the majority of people are incompetent, and I'm also going to use the an economic model of of stores and shit. 20% of my customers will probably give me 80% of my profit, whereas 80% of my customers will give me dumbass headaches and shit. And now I'm seeing it going down to 10% of my customers give me 90% of my profit. And I've seen that in every work environment where, 10% of employees do all the work and 90% of everybody else is fucking riding the fucking wave. So I'm seeing that everywhere, and I'm thinking that's what it is.
Well, I mean, there definitely is an education problem in this country, and it transcends race. It transcends even economic. I mean, I know some rich, dumb motherfuckers, and it's unbelievable. Like, there's these people that just have millions of dollars, but they don't know their ass from their elbow. If you took their credit card and their car keys and their smartphone and threw them in the wilderness, they'd be fucked. They could not survive. They could not get out of that. They don't know anything, and they're useless. They're automatons. They just were at the right place at the right time. Maybe they inherited it, or maybe they just had like this idea. And in this consumer economy, you just kind of need that one good idea. And and of course, I know plenty of very successful black and other race and other minority status, other disenfranchised status people, that they're like, no, fuck that. I'm going to rise above. I do have bootstraps. I can do more. I think your primary example of that, I mean, you came from, like, fucking, we came from the streets, motherfucker. We came from Miami. And it was rough. It was crazy. We didn't have a lot of money, but I think we're doing all right. You know, and we have people following us, people listening to people interested in what we're doing. We have different businesses, different ventures, you know. And so getting back to the timeline is, you know, we can only do that so many more times on this phone call. This has been awesome. So, you know, we met Federal Jack. We have a student organization. We're having these movie screenings once a week at two different campuses in Miami and the Biscayne Bay Area. And we're showing all, like, the Alex Jones stuff. We're showing Zeitgeist, Esoteric Agenda was a good one. We showed Idiocracy one time, I think twice even, and They Live. And, you know, we would, after the film, have kind of like a questions and answer and be like, all right, here's why we showed that movie. Here's some documents on this. This was relating to that. And I wish we still had – I wish we didn't have to be in college. I guess we don't. I mean, I want to start having more like Dark Docs Live. That was pretty much what we used to do, because that was a lot of fun. At times, we would have like 150 people. We'd have a packed house, and then we'd have all these people really discussing. We'd take questions, and we'd have the projector going. So if someone said something, we'd have the internet. We'd look it up right there. I feel like that's really missing, this kind of like town hall situation where people can all get together, talk about taboo shit, you know, 18 and over, no kids. We're talking, this is adult, grown-ass adult conversation, and where we're discussing the future of our world, you know? And have you had a desire since doing all of that stuff to get back into that? You're like, fuck that.
I'm just
that
so jaded by fucking people that I just don't. I just kind of give a shit about people what they want.
You gave up, man. You're like, fuck this. You unplugged your microphone. You dropped the mic. You already got in your taxi cab. You're across town. You're done.
Yeah.
He's like, I got my five screens in front of me. I got my fucking synthesizers, and I'm good.
I got a great set. I got all my toys. You know, I got all the toys I wanted as a kid. I got my video games, my synthesizers. You know, fuck everybody else. They got me. They won. They got me content in my little cheap ball. I don't give a shit about anybody else anymore because they all fucked up anyway. And fuck it, you know. I can't even go to stores anymore. You know, I have to order shit on Amazon and shit to deliver to my house because it's like, you know, I go to the store and they don't have the fuck that, they don't have the fuck that I want anymore. And it's like,
why can't you go to a store anymore? What did they do to you?
No, this is me. I go to a store, you know, and I see something on display there. I say, all right, they got me. I want to go get it. I go look for it. We don't have it in stock. You don't have it in fucking stock. What the fuck is this shit? And then there's just some fucking bratty kid whining and shit. And it's like, you know what?
Yeah.
Why did I deal with the fucking shit over here too? Like, I'm gonna pay someone $5 to do this shit for me now. And it's just because that's what you came to me. That's what we came to me right now. So to educate that kind of mentality about, you know, hey, you know. You know, the government or whatever fucking thing is fucking you up. You're drinking the estrogen from the plastic. You're doing all this shit. And you know what?
Wait, so you're telling me that the water did make the frogs gay?
I believe I do know that the plastic does leak into the water or
yes.
Into any storage.
And yes, the answer is yes, the water did make the frogs gay, and you can look it up. It just sounds crazy when Alex Jones says, which, you know, brings us back to half the shit the guys.
I don't know. I do not know if the gene. I cannot. I do not know of any study that said the xenoestrogen has made the amphibious species of the water gay via the plastic leakage of plastic. I have seen the studies I've seen it, but it was from pharmaceutical drugs that was being leaked into water, not the plastics. So I cannot say the plastics are making the
I thought it was the bisphenol A. Huh? I gotta look it up again. You might be right, you might be wrong. We've read so many of these damn documents over the decades that sometimes I gotta reread them, but I thought it was the BPA, the bisphenol A.
That releases estrogen out into people, the BPA, and it caused several cancers in people.
Yes, that is correct. That is well. But there is some truth to it, so don't always just, when they say orange man bad, they're only half right. they're half wrong too. All right. So Federal Jack, we were doing that. You're like, I'm so done with this. After that, of course I moved, and that pretty much killed Federal Jack because I broke my ankle. I didn't have insurance. I couldn't walk for fucking 6 months. I dropped out of college. And I had to step back, take a look at my priorities, because I was fucking run down, dude. We were doing like two of these events a week. I was driving all over the fucking place in Miami traffic. I was living off of espressos, Cafe Cubana and Media Noches. We were staying up all night long. And we were just crunching away. We were working with We Are Change. We were working with, WikiLeaks and stuff like that. And we got a lot of new people on the team. There was a time where these Federal Jack meetings would be, a good fucking 10, 15 people with their laptops and shit, and we'd be throwing the fuck down. We were working on a documentary. We were doing all kinds of shit. And Agent Smith got arrested by a multi-jurisdictional gang task force at the Memorial Day weekend, and that made national headlines, and it was on InfoWars and stuff like that, because you guys used forensic recovery software. He gets arrested. He has a camcorder in his pocket, and it's recording the whole time. Of course, you can't see anything, and it's in his pocket. But the audio is pretty clear, and when he gets into holding, they're looking at the evidence, and we have the video. They were processing them in the parking garage at the gate inside of the Miami Beach Police Department, and the arresting officer was Israel Perez of the Hialeah Detectives Unit, and there was guys from FBI, Immigration and Customs Enforcement. This is when the Department of Homeland Security was pretty new. So they're holding these guys in this parking garage, and we're filming them, and they're looking through his camera, and we see them pushing buttons, and sure enough, they delete the stuff off of the SD card. And using open source forensic recovery software, you guys were able to resurrect the deleted footage onto the SD card, which then had like an amazing, I should have clipped it out, but they have these guys saying, hey, you guys are federaljack.com, fucking internet lawyers. If you've been a victim of a crime, you wouldn't be fucking, fucking with us and this and that. And it was unbelievable. I was like, they're like throwing this kid on the ground and fucking with him and shit. And of course, that really affected him in a lot of ways, and really gave him an interesting trajectory into this whole medium of investigative journalism, open source intelligence, activism, and on the scene reporting while protesting. And We Are Change was doing a lot of that. We kind of took cues from them. We were stringing for a couple years, which is when you you listen to police radios while you're driving around with your cameras fully charged and stuff to go get the scoop. And some of the guys in Weir Change, Florida, down in West Palm Beach, they you know, they were actually making some pretty good money with like local media covering traffic accidents and shootings and all kinds of shit. There was actually a shooting one night when I was out swinging with you guys. I think you were there that time. But yeah, man. What do you, looking back on those days? You know, are they warm memories? Do you miss any of it, or you're like, well, we're wasting our time? What do you think?
Oh, I had fun. I think it was a fun time.
Yeah, me too. I had a fucking great time. Yeah. Are you kidding me?
I sometimes don't think about those memories all the time. I share as many war stories or many, like, you know, cool anecdotes to people. Like, you know, one time I was out of Palm Beach, you know, we were drinking, you know, listening to police band trying to see what the hell's going on. And then we go see the standoff there between these cops and this one big guy there. And at the end, they hug each other. Man, what the fuck is this shit going on? It turns out that the standoff is just their own cops, their own guys. And then they came and said, this is what happened. It's a mistake in identity. Please go away. They were like, all right, we don't want to get shot, so we're getting away now. And that was telling.
Oh man, I love that when you're at a protest and then everyone's acting totally peaceful. We're just hanging out, you know. We got our signs, no curse words, and then we're playing by the rules. And we have our cameras out, and you're just kind of talking shit like we're doing now at a protest. And you have this one dude come out of nowhere, just like he'll jump out of a bush, you know, wearing a mask over his face, and then. He starts like saying, "Yeah, man, let's knock over that cop car." Oh, you man, or like, remember when we had we used to have with Federal Jack an event called Second Amendment Second Saturday, where every second Saturday of the month. I love that. I want to bring it back. I brought it back for a little bit. I'm gonna bring it back. We got some land out on.
I thought people got that work. I thought people got that where I work right now. They like the idea. They like that idea.
Right, I think it should be a nationwide thing. Nationwide Second Amendment Second Saturday, every second Saturday of the month.
This should be a nationwide thing. Yeah, this should be a nationwide thing. You know, every Second Amendment, you know, you go to your nearest gun range, whatever you want to do, and you start shooting guns. Guns aren't fucking stupid, aren't scary, and you can't just pick out a gun and shoot something and get it right, because guns are not fucking are not laser targets and shit, and that can take a skill. And then, you know, then you know, people know how to use a gun properly and not be a douchebag. Everybody would be happy, and,
right.
and that's the end of it.
Yeah, what I loved about it is that we didn't just go and shoot guns and, like, just keep to ourselves. No, it was an event. If you came to Second Amendment Second Saturday for the first time, you didn't know any of us, you just saw we put posters up at the university, and it just scared the shit out of everyone. Like, oh my God, they're a fucking militia unit. But if you showed up for the first time, we had all kinds of sorority girls and all different kind of walks of life. We had some of the people in like the Chinese club come over and different things. And we would treat everyone the same. You come, and we'll just be like, what's your experience with firearms? You know, you pay your admission fee, and then we would have extra ammo for them to purchase from us. And, you know, we wouldn't gouge them or anything. We would charge about what we paid for them. We'd just like to break even for our day, you know. And we would let them, they didn't have to bring a gun, and they didn't have to rent a gun, which is rather expensive from the range. And some of them don't even offer that. And so you could come and use our and see what the best kind of gun is for you. You know, if like, you know, be like, oh, is it home defense? Do you need like a concealed carry? And I had a concealed carry permit rather young. And I was actually one of the first of us, I think, to get a concealed carry permit. And so I use this event to take it further than the concealed carry courses that I went to. And I felt I kind of filled in the blanks that I thought should be in there, and the education with the gun etiquette law. We would go through scenarios where, like, let's say you're in this situation and, you know, this happens, what do you do? You know, and it's like, oh, right answer, wrong answer, or the reason why that's a wrong answer, and here's the Florida state statute on this or that. And, you know, I really took time with like, all the noobs to make sure, like, they walked away from that being like, I'd come back, it's a good deal, and I learned a lot, and I'm going to bring people. And it got pretty good. But every now and then, you would get someone like, remember Heidi? She showed up, and she was like, you know, we took her out to lunch after, and she was like, yeah, so do you guys want to, you know, burn some cop cars, or do you guys ever, you know, get, you know, radical, or this or that? Do you remember that?
Yeah, she was a crazy fucking, like, She wanted me to go do some arbitration or some I remember or something. She was crazy.
I believe we thought she was we believe she was Mossad. Like, didn't we use like the vault?
She was totally some kind of washed up agent that, you know, I think that was her last, one of her last jobs, because she looked like she was used up. I saw her.
Trying to get back to the game, trying to like find some dirt on us while she was hanging in Miami. And
yeah,
she couldn't find anything because she was pretty fucking clean. I mean, you know, we were like,
I was
so clean, we were boring.
That wasn't the point. I mean, she was kind of washed up with her sense. I wanted a better agent, but, you know,
that's
whatever.
They sent us the worst nerds, man. And, the last time I saw her is when we had in the Fed protest at the Doral branch of the Federal Reserve.
She walked away with the other federal agent, the Ashes guy.
Yeah, they were like hooking up.
Yeah.
I mean, they came together. Kind of like BW there.
I remember Ashley Elbows guy. I get a douchebag. He goes, yeah, you know, I was playing with drywall for the last 5 minutes. And you know what? See, this shit actually happened. So, yeah, probably, you know.
I forgot about that. That's funny.
That was something like Bin Laden, that's what he said. It was actually happened.
Oh, my God. What about Muhammad Malik?
The CIA spy.
Like, for 5 minutes, we went to, like, some wedding at his house. Remember that? He invited us to his wedding, and we're like, yeah, we'll go. I came, I had, like three little, oh, yeah, he was a Muslim, like a religious fundamentalist Muslim, but his family ran a ham eggery.
Yeah.
Which, is, if you know anything about, you know, very legit Muslims, they don't like the pork. They don't like the hooven animals. And to have a ham and eggery.
Yeah, ham and eggery is kind of nasty. Too. I mean, that thing's a fucking shithole. I don't know if that thing must be some kind of place where they meet now that I think about it.
Did you ever go? I never went to the ham and eggery. I just heard about it.
I went. It was terrible.
Oh, I didn't know. I wish I went. That's funny.
I mean, it's walk away from my house. I mean, I had to go patronize the people around my neighborhood.
But this guy would show up to, like, all kinds of shit. He would just, like, random, like, where's Waldo? Where's Muhammad Malik? Like, if there was, like, a big protest, he was there. And I caught him talking to Radical Jack a couple times. And even though
he ignored me after a while. He would ignore me after a while. He would go to the protest. And he would hit every single thing. He looked at every single thing, and then I saw that he negotiated the Occupy Miami movement with the cops, and then he ended it. And he was the guy who ended Occupy Miami. He's a traitor. He's a traitor works with the CIA and Mossad, and he's Muhammad Malik. He's a double agent spy.
Fucking narc ass narc.
This is all speculation, by the way. So this is all speculation. All speculation. I'm not saying it. It's all speculation. He could be a normal guy. I have no idea what the fuck he's doing right now. It's all speculation.
We're shooting the shit now. But fucking last time I saw him was at Churchill's Pub, and he just came up to me and he was like, yes or no answer, blah 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 blah. And I'm like, first of all, yes or no answers are like some spook ass shit to try to, you know, it's not a yes or no answer. And they're like, you're indecisive, you don't know what you're talking about. And I'm like, dude, like, you're using some fucking textbook spook, you know, disinfo bullshit to try to like make me slip up and agree or disagree with something that like I'm not going to have a hard stance on because I'm not an idiot, you know? And he's like, and then he just kind of like walked away. He was like, he's not going to fall for my stupid shit. But the guy was wearing a wire, you know, asking me like, you know, fucking weird, compromising, no question shit. Like, fuck you.
Remember the other agent that came to us, he wanted you to pull out your gun at the Bohemian, at a black mangrove.
Who wanted me to pull out a gun there?
Emmanuel Lopez, I think his name
was. Emmanuel Lopez. That rings a bell. And I
was like,
pull
out your gun. I want you to pull out your gun. If you wanted to brandish your firearm, and he was wearing a wire.
You know what? I forgot about that. That's funny. Yeah, and I didn't, of course. You know, I've only pulled my gun twice, ever. One time was at Churchill's Pub. It was another time. Around the same time period, funny enough, though. There was this dude that, like, out of a cartoon, like a Wild West cartoon, he dragged my friend, the bartender, this guy Chris, he went to FIU also, dragged his ass right over the bar, and then they rolled out the front door like a tumbleweed. Like, you know, it was just like fists and legs, like, spinning out, like, with, like, a tumble, you know, one of those, like, just big clouds of dust. Because, of course, Churchill's is fucking filthy. There's, like, PBR cans flying everywhere. And so, me being an info warrior and peaceful, you know, I'm very I'm nonviolent. You know, I carry. I always have a gun on me. But, it's for emergencies, so no one's going to see it, you know. And we're in Florida, it's concealed carry, you know. I would love to have open carry, so that way people would be like, don't start shit. That guy's a little trigger happy. That's why everyone minds their P's and fucking Q's in Texas, you know. It's awesome.
Well, it's open
and
carry over here.
It is, really?
I get open carry over here.
That's beautiful. You, sir, live in America. I don't like having to get a permit and conceal my Second Amendment right. But, yeah, so I pulled out a camera, and I'm like, hey, douchebag, I'm filming this, and we're calling the cops, and the cops get here. I'm going to show them this video that I'm shooting right now. You know, like trolling the guy to like, because he was clearly on meth and whatever the fuck else, and you know, he was kind of like crusting at the mouth, you know, it's a look, you know, blue around the eyes and shit. And he immediately gets off of Chris, so it worked, and he like walks off into the parking lot. Then he circles around, and I'm filming him the whole time. I'm like, yeah, you think you're slick, you're gonna walk up behind me? No, I'm going to, as you're moving to the left, I'm moving to the left too, you know, and he runs up to me and he knocks the camera out of my hand. So I have this video where I like this whole thing happens and then the video ends and he fucked up the camera pretty good. It fell like really hard. I was able to save the footage, but the camera was shit, broke the glass. So I pulled the gun on him at that point. I'm like, I've been assaulted. I feel like my life is in danger. So I nonchalantly put a gun on, you know, on him. I'm like, and I look at him in the eyes and I tell him, go home, dude. Like, you're fucked up. You know, I stopped you from, like, he was beating the shit out of this guy, Chris, pounding away at this guy's skull. I don't know what the problem, I don't know what started the fight. I just saw it when it happened. And so, and I was like, look, man, like, go sleep this off. Go home. Like, I'm not trying to fucking shoot you. I just want you to stop shooting my friend. And you're on something, and I don't want you to fucking Resident Evil style jump on my ass, you know, and start doing the same thing you were doing to him, to me, you know. And so I'm like, that's why I have a gun. I'm not trying to shoot you. Fuck off. He keeps coming at me. I couldn't believe it. I was like, I was getting scared. So I have one of those Crimson Trace lasers. I I put the laser like between his eyes. He's about like 4 feet away from me, and I'm like, I'm serious, dude. I'm not fucking around. This is a real gun. I'm gonna fucking lay you out if you attack me. I don't want you to attack me. I want you to go home. And still no intent of shooting the guy. At this point, when the crowd, there's like a crowd of like 25 people around, and they all like go, oh my god, you know, when they hear the, when they see the laser. And then this girl that was with him earlier in the night jumps in front of the gun like a fucking hero, I might add. And I immediately put the gun down and put it back in my pocket. But the thing, my finger was off the trigger, by the way, this whole fucking time. You know, index finger pointing forward. The ring, the middle finger, is the one that presses when you squeeze underneath the trigger on the handle to activate the crimson trace. She jumps in front of the gun. I put it away. I'm like, you know this guy? She's like, yeah. And I'm like, get out of here. I'm going to do the same. The cops are going to be here any minute. And then that was the end of it. So, because at this point, I have a bunch of like, the thing about Miami is one of these places, it's all hard until someone pulls a gun. And that is when everyone becomes like a fucking cuck. They become these like, oh my God, like, yeah, why do you have a gun? It's like, okay. You know, I don't trust the cops. I don't trust anybody. And I the only person that's going to defend me and my people is me, dude. Like, you know, that's how we rolled. And we never got into fights. I've never seen any of us get into a fight other than when the cops attacked Agent Smith. It worked out fine. I got banned from Churchill's for a couple of years because they're British, of course, Churchill's. And they, you know, their clubs their cops in Britain had like billy clubs and shit, you know. Well, this was post 9/11, so maybe not. But they were still in that mindset. Why do you have a gun? Why did you bring a gun to my bar? And it's like, dude, it's fucking sketchy as shit at your bar. Like, people get stabbed all the fucking time. I'm not going to be a statistic. I'm going to have a fucking gun on me when I go to your sketchy ass place in Little Haiti, dude. You know, it was an awesome place. I still love Churchill's. I go there all the time. And Sacred Owls actually had their first show at Churchill's 10 years ago. It's coming up on 11 years now. Pretty crazy how time flies. But yeah, man, fucking don't pull a gun unless you need to. And the other time was in my kitchen. Again, another meth out guy. I was in my house. So I was into the Castle Doctrine. You know, we're having a house party. And again, I didn't have the same situation. I had my shield, strike one, strike two, strike three, the laser and stuff. And it worked. That guy, someone else who had a, he was out on bail. And it was a felony charge for drugs, though. He had some, like, weed or something. He was at my party. And he said, yo, man, like, let me take care of him. Put your gun away because if the cops show up, I'm on probation and da-da-da. And I'm like, yeah, no problem. He was a nice enough guy. And he took care of it, you know, very peacefully. He was able to get the guy out of there, you know, just like kind of he did one of those. He's a big guy, so he was able to do one of those kind of teddy bear hugs and drag his ass to the curb. You know, they called an Uber for the guy and then sent him on his way. So that was pretty cool of them. That's how we roll in the libertarian movement, where we're law-abiding citizens and we're not like trying to be vigilantes or nothing. But, you know, if the duty comes, you know, we fucking defend ourselves. We got about 16 minutes. So I wanted to get into, so, you know, after Federal Jackie had hacked Miami with Agent, Winston Smith and Proxy and all these guys, and, you know, we got really close. I was at the first four Hack Miamis, I believe. And I am credited with being the very first maker at the very first Hack Miami meeting at FIU. Where I made, I made a bong out of a beer bottle at University Park campus. Something
yeah,
along those.
You made a fantastic water pipe out of a. I think it was actually a chemistry cylinder or something as well.
That's how we roll, man. We're gangster as fuck, you know. And what do I care? I'm not trying to get my degree from them. I'm a dropout. And yeah, man, but there was some good stuff. I really enjoyed a lot of those years. But something went awry in this past year. And I mean, I don't talk to Winston Smith anymore. I won't return his calls. I almost didn't return proxies, but I just went to dinner with him and Jillian. And we're going to, I'm going to be the best man at his wedding. And I couldn't believe he even asked me to do that, because these guys, you know, you were on the line some of the time, and they were just calling me in the middle of the night incessantly and just trolling me because they didn't like Sacred Owls, I guess is what it boiled down to. They didn't like that I was still talking about the, you know, the occult, New World Order, elite, the Bohemian Grove, and the Bilderberg Group, and Council on Foreign Relations, Pizzagate, the Clinton Foundation, all of that stuff. They just they kept calling me Green Day, and oh, he's just gonna go. You know what? How you were in these calls? What was propelling Agent Smith and Proxy to just go so off the rails and get so triggered by what I was doing with my career in music?
I think my point of view was that you stopped going to that Hackman-Henry conference, or just trolling you for not being you were going to do a concert that day instead of going to the conference. I think that was the main reason for the for them.
They thought I was trolling them by going to the conference.
Huh?
They thought I was trolling them for like showing up at the conferences. They kept inviting
me. No.
Okay.
I think what it was that you were going, like you would do a concert instead of go to our conference.
That never happens.
That was my impression of the whole thing.
Oh, that's funny. No, the first 4 years, I came for all of the regular Hack Miami. You guys, I think 2 years in, started doing the winter conferences. And, I mean, we usually are on the road, I mean, a lot. But it's like, that's, I mean, some dates, I mean, is the, like I might have gotten it way later or, like, not an invitation at all. Because I would check on, like, oh, when's the next thing? You know, I try to make my way down there. It's always a good time and stuff. But I guess that's interesting. They were getting a little butthurt by my attendance. But I mean, I don't know. It's like, I love the whole. I mean, I really enjoyed you and Winston Smith and I. We went to Hackers of Planet Earth, Hope 2600 at the Hotel Pennsylvania. That was really fun. I never got out to make it out to DEF CON. I know you guys went a couple of times. But it's always a good time. I mean, I think sometimes schedules, you know, whatever. They might have like been like, oh, I bet he's playing a show or something. I don't know. But I see. So, I mean, it just got out of control, though, like to the point where, like, they were just being, like, just mean, you know, and it's like
I don't think it was all the calls.
Because, yeah, for me, like, I got to the point where they would be calling through, like, fake numbers and doing all this really, like, you know, sketchy shit. You know, and to them, it's funny because, oh, we're hackers. We can do that. I'll reset the password to your voicemail. You know? And Proxy claimed that he did that to me, but he said that he felt bad and he changed it back before I ever noticed. Which I'm like, yeah, okay, you know, like, sure you did. It's like, print screens or else it didn't happen, you know. Like, but, I mean, and so, I mean, if it was all in good fun, fine, but it got to the point where, like, I was like, I don't have time for this. I'm in the middle of a business meeting. I'm in the middle of doing this and that. You know me, I'm always like, I have all my side hustles and stuff. And I can't just have, and I'm, you know, if I'm sleeping, I'm sleeping. It got to the point where, like, if I fell asleep, I would put my phone in airplane mode, so that way only like alarms and shit will go off that I set, you know, while I'm sleeping, and anyone else can just like leave a voicemail and whatever. And I mean, I'm almost glad to a certain degree, because with all of the bullshit, like now I just don't answer my phone. Like you guys were the reason why, you know, I have my outgoing message. Like, if you want to hear back from me, you need to leave your phone number first, followed by your name, followed by the reason for your call, and I will listen to it and get back to you. And it's very interesting because it seems kind of abrupt and kind of like a dick move, but the more I listen to my voicemails, people like, they like being told what to do. They're like, oh, easy, that's what he wants? Sure. They give me phone number first, so I don't have to listen to the whole fucking message over and over again, because you can't fast forward, you know, to listen to for, they're like, they leave a long ass voicemails, and at the very end, they'll like say their phone number once fast, so you have to hear the whole fucking, and they mumble it like an asshole. So this really, I suggest everyone that's professional, leave an outgoing message saying, leave me your number, followed by your name, followed by the reason for your call, and I will listen to it and return your call. And it works. But so you stopped talking to those guys too. So what did they do to piss you off?
Well, it's not that I stopped talking to them. They just stopped responding to me.
Really? They stopped responding to you? Okay. Interesting. The plot thickens, because I heard from Proxy that you like dropped out. You were like done. You don't like them and this and that.
No, yeah, I dropped out because they were. I was like, okay, I'm doing all this work, I'm not getting a response. Fuck, I'm done.
Yeah. Yeah, that kind of happened to me too, like towards the end of Federal Jack. Like, I'd be doing all this, like, because I had tyrannyresponsequad.org, and I mean, you guys were working on like the app side of things, where you could go to this app or this page or whatever, and whenever there was a police checkpoint in Miami or anywhere, you could report it and it would show up on the map. And it was pretty interesting, like the direction we were going with that. And we wanted to have this kind of like anti-police state force and stuff, kind of like similar to InfoWars Tyranny Response Team, the TRT that they had. We had the TRS. We made some shirts and it was pretty cool. We were actually wearing them at the Memorial Day thing. So, okay. So that's anticlimactic. I thought there was something juicier behind all of this. I was kind of building up to end the show with that. Like, there was some revelation, because just a couple of the views and stuff that Winston Smith over the years would, you know, he seemed like he got more and more legitimately racist, in my opinion. And I used to think he was kidding.
That was part of it too. It wasn't to do anything, and the only thing I got was like, you know, insults from them, and I was like,
And I
didn't need that either. You know, over here where I work, you know, people respect me, they respond to me. You know, I don't get insulted at all, not even in jest. You know, it's like I work with real people here, and you know, over here, and I do something, or I ask for help, and I get no response or feedback or anything. It's like, well, I can get that from a dating site or something. I don't need this here. You know, I really don't need this here. So it was just like, it was the only thing that was making me depressed at one point. And everything else was like, it's fantastic. Like, I lost a lot of weight. I'm a lot more healthy now. I have a lot of talent. I'm doing more talent. You know, I have everything going good for me, and that's the only thing that's bumming me out is like these people are not doing, you know, fucking simple shit. And I just said, fuck it. It's a long way. Go over there from here. I don't even want to go to Florida anymore. It gives me PTSD to think about it. And I just don't even want to go deal with it. I like it over here a lot more. I just really like it over here a lot more than to go over here in the first place. You know? So it's like, you know, I'm going to go there and like, you know, they're going to insult me, and then they realize they're insulting me. And if I say they're insulting me, they're going to think I'm fucking being a butthurt or crazy about it. But it's more
right,
like,
right.
You know,
they're always spinning around like, oh, you're being too sensitive. It's like, I'm not being sensitive. It's just at a certain point, your behavior is fucking annoying. You're acting like a fucking 13-year-old. And meanwhile, I have adult friends that are intellectual. They're, you know, they're with it. They're woke, you know. And I don't mean in an SJW way. I mean in that they understand what's like Bill Burr, man. They know what's going on. They know where we're going. They know who's running shit. They know what they're into. They, you know, they really follow on the wire. And that's what I've built with the Dark Docs Network, I believe, on many different platforms. We're on all different social media. And we have people in this network that fucking care. And they're dedicated. They're interested. They're trying to keep, like, fact checks, like, correct. We're doing what Snopes fucking should be doing. But since they're controlled opposition, you know, they're just going to say everything's fake news that is actually – there's real victims. There's real shit going on. There's real fucked up stuff going on. And, I mean, we have 4 minutes left, and the outro is 2 minutes. So, I mean, I just – you know, I know I kind of let you go at the halfway point with, you know, things bugging you and stuff. Is there any last words? You have a great story where, you know, you have overcome so much bullshit. What kind of inspirational stuff, you know, can you impart on, like, younger people to, you know, kind of get out of a shitty situation?
Learn something new every day.
Yeah.
That's one thing. Everybody can learn something new every day, and also exercise every day in any form. Doing those two simple things will help you go a lot, go far and everywhere.
Get some fucking fresh air, you know, not just work out, in my opinion. You know, we got that. If you ever come back to Florida, I hope you come visit us in Cocoa. We have like several acres out there in the fucking beautiful Florida wilderness. We're right by Cape Canaveral, but like way the fuck out in the woods. Shooting off guns, we're building tree houses off the grid, alternative energy, we're growing all sorts of fruits and vegetables, and we're growing bamboo, we're doing rainwater collection and filtration. I can't wait to come out and visit you out there next time we hit the West Coast. But it's been an honor and a privilege interviewing you and working with you over the years. You're definitely a friend of mine, James Charles Ball, and I don't see that changing. Keep putting out those sick synthesizer beats, or lack thereof. It's more ambient. And yeah. I would actually like some of it in future episodes and, of course, give you credit for it. And we're coming out with some pretty cool documentaries and stuff that it might work for, too. So we'll be in touch for that. Everyone, James Charles Ball, last word.
Well, keep at it.
Woo! All right.
EternalAffairsMedia and DarkDocs.com. We hope the information you received was beneficial to your quest for truth and justice. Please visit us online at DarkDocs.com to download shows, movies, other podcasts, PDF documents, music, and much more for free. No advertisements, no sign-ups, no terms of use, no censorship, no control. This is information warfare. This is the end of the transmission.